The Holy Gospel according to St. Luke, the 21st chapter. When some were speaking about the temple, how it was adorned with beautiful stones and gifts dedicated to God, Jesus said, "As for these things that you see, the days will come when not one stone will be left upon another. All will be thrown down." And they asked him, "Teacher, when will this be? And what will be the sign that this is about to take place?" And Jesus said, "Beware that you are not led astray, for many will come in my name and say, 'I am the one, the time is near.' Do not go after them. When you hear of wars and insurrections, do not be terrified. This must take first place first, but the end will not follow immediately. Nation will rise against nation, country against country. There will be earthquakes in various places, famines and plagues, and there will be great portents and signs from heaven. But before all this occurs, they will arrest you and persecute you. They will hand you over to synagogues and prisons, and you'll be brought before rulers and governors because of my name. This will give you an opportunity to testify. So make up your mind not to prepare your defense in advance, for I will give you the words and a wisdom that none of your opponents will be able to withstand or contradict. You will be betrayed even by parents and family, by relatives and friends. They will put some of you to death. You will be hated by all because of my name, but not a hair of your head will perish. By your endurance, you will gain your souls." This is the gospel of the Lord. Maybe like some of you, by Wednesday evening, I didn't have it in me to cook a good dinner. The students had gathered, our WashU students had trickled over, and they wanted to have some conversation and reflect on the election events of the week. And so we just started pulling things out of the fridge, and just like generations before us, right, we just made do with what we had, scraps of other meals. And the more students that came in and the more baggies we pulled out of the fridge, mysterious Tupperwares that somehow transformed into bruschetta and other kinds of things. Tonight, Ruth Irwin's funeral pasta will grace our table. And there's something about the love that comes from the meals shared among friends, right? That somehow, as we break this bread, literally and metaphorically together, we find some meaning. We find hope. We realize that what feels like remnants of something forgotten can, in fact, sustain us for the years to come. It's hard this week, if your feelings are anything like mine, to search for the wisdom, the hope, the assurance, when it feels like our state and country have been rocked in many ways. And this is actually the appointed text from the lectionary. I did not choose this. Oh, no. Here is Luke 21 set before us in Malachi. Wow. Predicting the utter destruction of the temple, reminding us of wars and earthquakes, plagues and famine, how we can be arrested and persecuted for our faith, betrayed by our own families, Thanksgiving just a week away, right? Hated for the name of Jesus. And it doesn't quite feel like hope and assurance, does it? Because I don't want nations to rise against nations anymore. We've just had too much of that, haven't we? And we should not, we cannot put on our blinders to the cries of the world. And yet sometimes it's just too much. I think of the nightly news, both local and global. I think of Haiti again and again. Just one example, this cycle of poverty and natural disaster and poor infrastructure and disease that ravaged the country again and again. How many times will we watch this same cycle manifest? For how many generations will this continue? And we think that these prophecies are so hard for us to digest in our modern ears because our worldview is so wide and our life expectancy is so much longer. And yet, let us step back and be forced to reflect on the life of the Hebrew people and the generation upon generation of enslavement and wandering and betrayal and mistrust, right? They waited and they waited and waited for a place to settle, and they finally found this place in Israel, and they built a glorious temple to finally have sacred space to honor their God. And in this time of Luke's writing, in the people's memory, the deep temple had just been destroyed. So what do we do with that? When we know the shoulders that we stand are of broken dreams. One of my girlfriends reached out from home this week, and she said, how do we make sense? And I said, Deborah, you are a Jew. Like, it is deep in your bones, right? Like, you know what it means to overcome. You know what it means to be persecuted. And so, searching for good news in this passage, I cling to the phrase, for I will give you words and wisdom that none of your opponents will be able to withstand or contradict. Yes, Jesus, give us words and wisdom, right? So this passage, like so many others, is about endurance. And as you look into the Greek word, it's not about passive waiting. It's not even about patience. It's more about perseverance. And that really is at the bedrock of our faith, is it not? That we need to be prepared to be persecuted as much as we hate to hear that from our middle-class white point of view. In fact, this will happen in every age, in every generation. And these are opportunities for us to preach justice and mercy into our world. And we know deep within us that our world, our city, our neighborhoods are hungry for a word of hope. And so much so that sometimes people choose the most extreme option, just to be heard. We take all of this, all that is turning inside of us, and we lay it at the foot of the cross. And for some this week, maybe this felt like a Good Friday kind of day, where it's better for us to lay completely on the ground and wail and lament. And our God is strong enough to take on all of that. Nothing will shake the foundation of God's love. So if you need a minute, you need a moment to dwell in that anger and that assurance, that is okay. Friday afternoon, I went with some of our students and even some members from here to the Love Trumps Hate rally that was on WashU's campus. Maybe you saw some coverage of it. And it was a stark contrast to a month ago, the very expensive, rather elite media circus that was the presidential debates, to this beautifully diverse rally where, in fact, it said in the invitation, we can't offer you food or chairs. Please come anyway. And it was just a story-sharing time. And for me, it was like church. In fact, there was several parts of scripture that were invoked, hymns that were sung, because that is what we do as a community, a body of Christ, right? We need to come together and mourn, but we cannot live face down at the foot of the cross, because to do that is to deny the hope that is Jesus the Christ continuing to act in this world. I love that there literally is food at the foot of the cross in this space, in this community, because it reminds us of when we pick ourselves up, we grab food for the hungry, both in body and soul, and we bring it back out into the world. That just as Christ sustains us in our fears, in our trials, we too are called to share that manna with the masses. I saw this very clearly this week. As I may have shared with some of you, our campus ministry students have started a partnership with the historic Sumner High School in St. Louis, the first high school for African Americans west of the Mississippi, an amazing legacy and history in St. Louis. But it's about to close, and it has been fighting for survival, especially the past couple of years when the school district gave them a bit of an ultimatum. The students are anywhere from 6 to 7 grade levels off. They're reading about third grade, the ninth graders. And so what do we do with this? And as our city has become more and more aware of the deep racial divides that have divided us for generation upon generation, I've been thinking so much about how to bring my students out of their campus communities. And so we've started this partnership, and every week I have 16 college students from WashU and SLU that travel to Sumner, and we do tutoring. It's very simple. It's nothing too exciting, just 2 hours where we're building relationships and helping students with their reading and their math. But on Wednesday, we couldn't just be business as usual. We needed to have a conversation, right, before we could start. And they could see palpably how the students were somber, our students, and there was this divide, and we had this conversation about the hope of my students getting to vote for the first time and to not feel like their voices was heard, and what does this mean? And the students of Sumner had a very different perspective. One student simply said, "I just don't see how life could get any worse for us. We already feel so disrespected and so far at the bottom. Unless we go underground, how will it change?" And we were gutted to think, what would it feel like to live in a place where you feel abandoned by your community, by your leaders, by your family? And sometimes the best, the all that we have to offer is just showing up for one another. So on Wednesday, we didn't have deep insights. We didn't have a lot of wisdom to share, but we did show up. And we did say, we don't know how to make a magnificent change in our world, but in our community, in this place, though it doesn't make sense and there's no biblical imperative, this is in fact how God is calling us to serve our neighbor and to be in the world. To recognize that it's a foundation of our beliefs, particularly coming out of the Reformation, that education for all is a gift and something to be shared. The words and the wisdom come slowly at times, but sometimes we find our purpose again in a most unexpected way. God calls us to take the food, to take the gifts that we've been granted, and to go out into this world, to build community, to oppose injustice, to work for peace, to make a place for the excluded. When we feel we are in our darkest night, may we remember this old spiritual that we sang again this morning, that we rise in the morning and there is light again. May I close with the immortal words of Dr. King that becomes a bit of a mantra in times of dissension. "I have decided to stick with love, right? For hate is too great a burden to bear." May we rise like the phoenix out of the ashes of our broken dreams, knowing that the promises that God delivers to us in our life in the person of Jesus is profound and transformational, and beyond anything temporal that happens in our days. Amen.